You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Strengthen your spirit. It is a good thing to strengthen your spirit. Let me give you a few scenarios to explain to you how strengthening your spirit makes a difference. Anyone here ever had a bad day? If you didn't raise your hand, keep living. I prophesy it's coming. Bad day is not the end of the world. But how many of you have had the bad day and then you dragged the effects of the bad day into home life, and your family, who did nothing to create the bad day, bore the brunt of the fact you had a bad day, and then you had to make up and apologize later? Because really, we should have the ability, even in the presence of a bad day, to learn how to draw a line in the sand, how to rise above that. But that happens to all of us. Or maybe you've had a decision and you're really wanting to know, God, do I go left or right? Which way do I turn? I don't know what to do. And you wish you could hear God clearly, but it phases in and out. Is it me? Is it God? Is it my soul? Is it Him? And you just wish there was clarity, and you just wish you could hear. That should happen. Like, if you're a follower of Christ, you should have the ability to hear the pulse, the voice, the sense of what God wants for your life. It's actually the privilege of every believer. Let me give you another scenario. You are doing well, but there's one area of your life, maybe no one knows about it, maybe people do, and it's like an Achilles heel. And it sort of, every time you have a good day, someone could say something or do something and it triggers your thought about that area, and it can send you into an emotional spiral. Because you wish you could somehow quarantine that thing and just not let it affect your life, but it has this ability to pull you down no matter how many times you want to conquer it. Or here's another scenario. You really need some encouragement and all your BFFs are unavailable. They're offline, not available, phone's not working. And you just wish sometimes you don't need to be at the mercy of other people. You could somehow pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Physically impossible, but spiritually you wish that could happen. These scenarios, whether it's a decision, a bad day, an area of your life, or whether it's just you're feeling lonely and a bit down, all of these things happen. But they're not supposed to dominate your life. If you have the living Christ inside of you, everyone will face storms. You can have a moment, but the key is to not turn the moment into a season. You can have a bad moment. You can have a bad night and feel like you're hiding in a cave, but you're not supposed to set up home in the cave. So there are moments you're going to have where life is going to deal you a set of cards and you're going to go, oh God, I've got to conquer. We're all human. We all go through highs and lows. It's normal. What is not normal for a believer is that you live under that continually. Because the inheritance of every follower of Christ is that greater is He that is in me should actually look like something. It's not just a memory verse. It should actually cause you, even in the midst of circumstances, to have the ability to rise. That's why we need to strengthen our spirit. To understand what it means to strengthen your spirit, I need to explain to you for a second the difference between your spirit, your soul, and your body. How many realize that you're a three-part being? You have a body. That's obvious. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you have a spirit. Three parts. Everyone say spirit, soul, body. So the body is decaying. If you're over 30, it's only heading in one direction. So whatever you make up or inject is making minimal difference. It's delaying the inevitable. It will not transcend the grave. It's heading in one direction. The sermon gets better. But your spirit, see, the part that is made in the image of God is your spirit. The diversity of the body, just look around the room, it's huge. But your spirit is made in the image of God. When you got born again, that is the part that went from darkness to light, from death to life. Your soul, however, is a work in progress. Your mind, your will, and emotions, the day you received Christ, this was still as regenerate as anything. If you had bad thoughts, the day you got saved, you still had bad thoughts. You have to renew your mind. You have to restore your soul. You can actually take your mind, will, and emotions on a journey. That's called discipleship. That's called sanctification. That's called the process of growing and changing. And your soul isn't evil. It's just soulish. And the way your soul is you have a good day, your soul goes good. You have a bad day, your soul goes bad. And your soul and your spirit are the two things that almost compete against each other, and the larger one tends to win. And that determines whether you sink in the storm or you soar above it. Yeah. Whatever you feed grows. And whatever you starve will die. So the problem is most of us feed our soul, but we don't feed our spirit. And so we wonder why we're always under circumstances. Because, you know, if you imagine the old cartoons, you got the good guy and the bad guy speaking into your ears, and like, who's going to win and which way is he going to go? That's like your soul and spirit. Paul describes it in Romans in this tongue-twisting passage that sounds a bit like, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, I do. Why? Who will deliver me from this wretched flesh? And, you know, he talks about it, but he's really describing a struggle no different to all of us. And what he's describing is a struggle, essentially, another way to say it, is between your spirit and your soul. Your spirit loves God. Your spirit is the real you. Your spirit is the eternal you. Your soul is a work in progress. All of us have a work in progress. So the question is, and you know, here's the thing about the soul. The soul will grow by default because it goes by default. Like, which whatever's happening, that's how your soul goes. And a soulish Christian is not an evil Christian. It's just a soulless Christian, meaning you are led completely by your emotions, your will, and your mind, which, depending if it's renewed, restored, or aligned, well, so be it, depending on the circumstances. But there is something about your spirit man that today needs to come alive, because God has given you a spirit. You are a spirit. In fact, of the three, I got news for you. You, of the three, you are most a spirit. You have a soul, and you're temporarily living in a body. Some of us live like we are a body. And yeah, we have a soul, I suppose, and we don't even know what the spirit part is. But the part that says when you were made in the image of God is the spirit. So we need to learn how to strengthen our spirit, because every now and then, if your spirit tries to talk to you, think of an internal conversation you're having. Hey, soul, worship the Lord. Don't be so down. Stop being so depressed. Your soul is so massive, and your spirit is so tiny. It's like, shut up. And so it's like your spirit has no voice. But if you strengthen your spirit can get to the stage and the size where your soul cannot bully your spirit anymore. And in case you think this is some sort of weird, bipolar, schizophrenic conversation you're having with yourself, it's right through the scriptures. In Psalm, let me give you a few examples. It's right through Psalms especially. Psalm 42, look at what the psalmist says. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's not talking to another person. He's talking to himself. Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. His spirit is saying to his soul, why are you disquieted? Why are you so downcast? Stop acting like this is an eternal matter. Just rise up, hope in God. He doesn't have a personality disorder. He's speaking to his soul. Some of us need to speak to our soul more, but the voice of the spirit is so soft. You think this is weird, but it's right through. In fact, we sang it earlier, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So soul, you feel a certain way, but I want to tell you, soul, bless the Lord. I'll tell you why. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He sets you on a rock. He renews your youth like an eagle. He bestows loving kindness and tender mercies. So let me remind you, you will bless the Lord. That's why David was a man after God's own heart, I believe. Many reasons, but I think one of the principal reasons was he wasn't a worshiper because he had no bad moments. It's in the midst of his crisis, he had a strong enough spirit to speak to his soul, and often you would hear him talk to his soul. In fact, the time you need to talk to your soul the most is when you're struggling. When your soul is flying, great, let him go. But when your soul is down, you know, Psalm 34 might be my favorite example of how context and then the text paints a picture that if you don't have the context, the text just sounds like another good song. But the context of Psalm 34, and if you can read it in the pretext above the psalm, if you read your Bible carefully, it explains. It says, a psalm of David when he pretended madness. He faked insanity. He pretended to be mad because he was running away from a king. He pretended madness because the king Abimelech drove him away and he departed. That's what it says. So if you just read that and you go, oh, wow, David, tough life, tough day. He's had a bad day. You'd think that the psalm is going to be one of those depressing psalms. But you know what Psalm 34 starts with after that context? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me. This is a man who's pretending to be mad. But in the midst of a bad day, a bad moment, he's got this ability to speak to his soul. Psalm 63, the pretext is a psalm when David was in the wilderness of Judah. Judah means praise. Anyone ever been in a wilderness of praise? Some of us don't even know what that is, like, because you just live in the wilderness of praise. But like praise feels so dry and barren and fake. And David's in that space. And instead of going, he says, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. There is something about David that could speak to his soul in any circumstance to rise and say, stop being so down and timid, you will bless the Lord. Maybe the most brutal demonstration of David's incredible ability to strengthen his spirit over his soul is the story in 1 Samuel 30 where he's, the pretext is he's gathered 400 guys who are discontented, distressed, and in debt, and he's basically modeled them, molded them, discipled them into some form of army, really a group of people. He was still running for his life, and through a turn of events, they get pillaged and their families are taken, and the people are mad because that's a bad day when your family gets captured. And David's family is in the same situation. So all of them are facing the same storm. But look at what 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says. Now David was greatly distressed. Fair enough. And this is why he's distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him. Like, I mean, when people want to stone you, you're probably distressed. Why do they want to stone him? Because the soul of all the people was grieved. The people didn't have strong spirits. They just soullessly led. Families of God, that's it. Kill the leader. Leave the church. Move on. Just soul decisions because of a circumstance. Every man for his sons and daughters. So the people wanted to kill him because their souls were messed up. But they didn't have a spirit strong enough to say, hey, soul, stop being so messed up. But look, David's in the same place. But David strengthened himself. His pastor didn't strengthen him. His wife didn't strengthen him. His leader didn't strengthen him. His connect leader didn't strengthen him. His friend didn't strengthen him. His neighbor didn't strengthen him. All his BFFs were unavailable. David strengthened himself in the Lord. And something in him rose up that he could speak to his soul. And he said, you know what? Rather than just give up, rather than just quit, he stood in himself strong enough to see that turn around. And this was the chapter that precedes him becoming king. Your ability to strengthen yourself is probably the key to your promotion. When the real test is nobody else can strengthen you, can you pick yourself up? That's why you got to learn to strengthen yourself. I'm only going to give you two things that I want to invite you to exercise. You know, think of this as a YouTube video where you learn how to, I've Googled all the quick ways to lose weight. Well, I know all those videos off by heart, but so So, but there's two exercises that you get. By now you should be saying, okay, we get the point, Pastor Mark, tell us, how do I strengthen my spirit? How do I get my spirit to the point where it has a voice loud enough to speak to my soul? Well, number one, meditate on the word. I did not say read the Bible. But you cannot meditate on the word unless you read the Bible. Some of us need to read less and meditate more. Now, for those of you who don't read the Bible at all, I'm not talking to you. You can't read less than nothing. You need to read something. But the idea, it's not a competition. You know, it's not a race to gorge the entire thing and, do good to go for your life. But I'm just suggesting to you, you could read a lot and get nothing, because you're not supposed to read the word till you know the word. That's the start. You're meant to read the word till you grow from the word. And that means the sign that meditation has had its effect in your life is the word becomes flesh. The word becomes flesh means what you digest becomes part of you. When it's part of you, it gives you the strength that you need in the moment you need it. See, the problem is most of us read, but we don't meditate. So you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, I know that verse, I know the song. And then the minute the enemy comes, and you're off. Because what happened to the verse? You know it, but it hasn't become flesh. It hasn't become part of who you are. It hasn't broken down. And this meditate means to regurgitate, to go over, to mull on, to chew on. Anyone ever had reflux? You have a working picture, better than the others, of what meditation feels like. A cow chews grass and it goes in, it comes back up, he chews it again, tastes better the second time anyway, goes down, and if the steak is not cooked well enough, it'll come up a third time, chew on it again and go. I'm talking about the word of God, I don't know what you're thinking about. But I'm saying this because some of us devour a lot and meditate on nothing. And the key is to meditate, which is to mull on, to, and so when I'm meditating on a verse, I've talked about the app that I use, Scripture Typer, but you use whatever you want, but find something and mull on it, pray on it, apply it, work out how it, hit it from every angle, cut it into pieces and chew on it until it becomes the very lifeblood of your very nature and response. And if some of us just learn to do that, if you change this one discipline in your devotion, it'll strengthen you to the point where when bad days come, when decisions come, when this happens, when that happens, you have this innate strength because your spirit will be strong enough. There's something about meditating on the word. In Joshua, when he was about to take new territory, God says to him, "Be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it, from the right or the left, that you may prosper." People go, do we believe in prosperity? God wants you to prosper. He doesn't want you to be selfish or weird, but he wants you to actually succeed in life. Then he goes on to say, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall, everyone say, meditate. Meditate in it day and night. That is the key, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. To meditate in it day and night. In other words, chew on it, let it become flesh. If you know something but you're not manifesting something, if you know it but you're not manifesting it, you haven't meditated on it. And you're like, yeah, but how do I know what to meditate? I don't have all the concordance. Google. Verses about fear. You'll get a list. Even secular Google will give you verses from the scripture. Find a few and meditate on it. Verses around anxiety, verses around insecurity, verses around jealousy, verses around whatever it is that you need. Say, God, what does your word say about this? Because my soul keeps pulling me in another direction and my spirit needs to get stronger. Some exercises to get your spirit strong. Number one, everyone say, meditate. Psalms 1, you know it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law. Who delights in the law? Even lawyers don't delight in the law. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. He chews on it, he mulls on it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. See, that's what life should look like. You should be a tree planted by rivers of living water. That no matter what the day, no matter who said what, no matter who did what, you'll have your moment, but it's not going to become who you are, because you are a tree planted by rivers of living water, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Wow. And yet that's not something to claim. That's something to mull on and meditate on. Meditate on the word day and night. That's the number one way to strengthen your spirit. If you're finding yourself attacked and your spirit doesn't seem to have the ability to speak to your soul, start to meditate. How many this week will commit to find? Listen, it's not hard. Find one or two verses, but meditate on it. Some of us like, YouVersion, app for the day, verse for the day, great. We tick a religious box called devotions and think we've done the right thing. Nothing happened. Okay, better than not doing it, I suppose, but in effect, nothing happened, because the word doesn't become flesh till we meditate. Okay, second key. Only two exercises today. Second key, we're going to strengthen our spirit. Number one, meditate in the word. Number two, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. There's many verses. I'll just give you a few. Then I want to tell you a story. Tell you my story. Jude verse 20. Look at what it says. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. See, some of us go to the natural gym. Some of us go to the spiritual gym. This whole thing about strengthening your spirit, this is the bad news. Ready? No one can do it for you. Lots of things we can do for each other. Lots. In fact, lots of things we can't grow unless we depend on each other. God has locked up your growth in people you don't even like, which is really irritating. But that's a fact. But there are some things no one can do for you. I can't read the Bible for you, and you can't go to the gym for me. And I'm not happy about it either. I would easily do the trade. If you're going to strengthen your spirit, you have to do it yourself. You know, the parable of the 10 virgins, I always thought there was a line at the end that was very selfish. When the five foolish ones wake up and said, please give us your oil. And the wise one says, get your own oil. I'm like, God, that is such so selfish. Like, we would never advocate not sharing. But you can't share oil. You can share light, but you can't share oil. There's some things you're going to have to do yourself. To strengthen your spirit, you're going to have to meditate. Yeah, but my wife is very spiritual. That's not going to help you. It might help your marriage. It won't help you. You have to meditate on the word. You have to pray in the spirit. You're like, what does that even mean? See, Jude, verse 20, Jude said, you can build yourself up. David strengthened himself. I don't know how. I don't know whether he spoke in tongues. It was before Pentecost, so I can't explain that. Maybe he did. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? But he, you know what the prophet Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. They rise up with wings like eagles. There's something about God's presence that strengthens you. One of the verses often used to almost denigrate tongues is 1 Corinthians 14:4. But in the verse that deals with church etiquette and order, they missed one of the most powerful statements there, where Paul says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Like, how do I strengthen myself? Speak in a tongue. And he goes on to say, he who prophesies edifies the church. So the context is, if I got up for half an hour and just spoke in tongues, you'll all be like, this is fascinating. I didn't understand a word. You see, when you speak in tongues, you don't understand. No one else understands. But God has put this unusual process that makes no sense to me as a key for you to strengthen yourself. And if you come from a background where your parents grew up in a charismatic or Pentecostal setting and that was normal, you're probably okay with it. I didn't. So when I was growing up, it was all a little strange to me, but I had this desire for God. I didn't know, because when we migrated to Australia, we went to a church, and the pastor had something about him that you just felt like, I didn't know you could know God. But, and I was 12, 13, and I had this desire to know God. I didn't necessarily want to, you know, work for him. I didn't really have plans to do this, but I just wanted to know him. And so I'm like, and he would talk about, come on, let's speak in tongues. I'm like, okay, I'm with you the whole way until the crazy babble starts. But then there's a part of me aching for the Holy Spirit. See, I didn't know that speaking in tongues is a gift from the Holy Spirit. See, the Father sent a gift. Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His... God, the Father gave a gift, Jesus. Jesus gave a gift. He said, I'm going, but there's one coming. I'll send another. I'll send him to you. He sent a gift. The gift of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings gifts. We would never reject the Father's gift. We would never reject the Son's gift, but we often reject the Spirit's gifts. And it's there to strengthen your spirit. God said, I've given you the tool. So to live weak is self-inflicted when he gave you the tools to strengthen yourself. So there is no excuse. I can meditate in the Word and I can pray in the Spirit. And to pray in the Spirit actually strengthens you. The pastor used to talk about, come on, let's pray in the Spirit. And at that moment, I'd be like, okay, I just like the rest of this church, but just this part, oh well, take the good with the bad, let's just hang around. And honestly, I started having this desire for the Holy Spirit, but I didn't really understand it, made no sense to my mind. So I just said to the Lord in private conversation, all my conversations with the Lord are private. This was extra private. Lord, this is extra private. I don't mind. If this thing is you, I'll have it. But if it's not you, keep it far from me. But Lord, let's make it private. When I'm in my room quietly, when no one's listening, do your thing. But please, don't embarrass me. In Jesus' name, amen. That's how the conversation went. 3 or 4 weeks, this desire was growing in me. One day there was a woman preaching. I came from a background where we didn't believe women should preach. God has a sense of humor. Woman is preaching and she looks at me and says, young man, I was at the front row, sitting on the front, doing an overhead projector. I don't have time to explain what that is to all you young people. Don't worry about it. Yeah, so I was doing that. She looks at me and she says, young man, God's heard your prayer. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I was like, she's not talking to me one-on-one. She's telling the whole church from the stage. I'm standing there and she's like, yeah, he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He said your prayer. I'm like, God. And he said, do you want to be filled? I'm like, sort of. She goes, raise your hands. I'm like, just don't say anything else. Then she prayed from the stage. I can't remember what she said, but I fell on the floor. I'm like, how did I get to the floor? So I didn't believe in women preachers. I didn't believe in speaking in tongues. I didn't believe in words of knowledge. I didn't believe in falling to the floor. And now, oh, God has used a woman preacher to have a word of knowledge. I fell to the floor, and now I'm on the floor lying out in front of the whole church. I, who am timid and shy and don't like attention, I'm lying on the floor. And the most intense, beautiful experience I can ever explain. I'm only 13, but I could feel this presence. It's hard to use words to describe it, but it was this innate joy and peace. Something happened on the inside, and it was like a river. It was like a tap got turned on. Something flowed. It was real, but it was immense joy and peace. It was like this incredible thing. These people came, looked at me, put a blanket on me or something, a cloth on me. I figured they thought I was cold or something. So, and I'm lying at the front, and there's a battle. My mind is like, don't say anything dumb, stop it. Everyone's watching. And yet part of me is like, God, don't let this stop. This is the most incredible thing. If this is you, please don't let it stop, please. But oh God, please let it stop. I don't know what to say. Oh God. And so I am just there, but for 40 minutes, maybe an hour, I can't remember, this thing and it sort of came up to my throat, and I felt like if I didn't open my mouth, I would burst. And so I opened my mouth and this weird baby noise babble came out. I'm like, oh, this is so embarrassing. What am I saying? But this is amazing, God, whatever it is. Because it's like if I didn't open here, the flow would stop here. I don't know. I can't work it out. But it just, and I thought, okay, just give in. Shut up and just give in. I mean, open your mouth and just give in. And so I just opened my mouth and just for 45 minutes, this is the most incredible feeling. And by the end of it, I remember getting up. I don't know if the church service had finished or I can't remember. And I didn't want to talk to anyone because I was still confused, but it was the most immense feeling. I didn't want to have a conversation. I didn't want to tell my family. I didn't want to tell my friends. I didn't want to tell my, you know what people are like? The whole church saw this. People come to you, hey, what happened to you down there? I saw you for so long talking. What are you doing? What's happening? What's happening? Tell me what was happening? I was like, avoid people, just go straight home. And you know, you can tell even my parents wanted to ask, but they didn't. We just say nothing. And got to the room, and then that night I went to bed. Morning I woke up, I'm like, oh God, I could still feel this amazing peace and joy. I said, God, okay, let's do that again. So I'm lying in the bed. This time I just lied myself down. I'm ready. Nothing. So then I put the blanket over myself. All right, let's go. Do we need the woman back? What are we missing? Like, what's going on? What? I believe, whatever. Nothing happened. I was learning. I didn't realize that once he fills you, he's given you a gift. I thought for the rest of my life, he would come and move my mouth. Some of you are scared to speak in tongues because you think it's like some animal coming inside of you and taking you over and going, rah, 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 rah. He's not going to possess you. Demons possess. The Holy Spirit fills. And I realized he'd given me a gift, and it took me a while to work it out. A few weeks later, I thought, I lost it. And then I talked to people and I learned and I'm like, wow, this is a gift. And I realize even now when I speak in tongues, see, you can speak in tongues, you can pray in tongues, you can sing in tongues. You don't have to yell in tongues. Some people think the louder you yell, the more the Holy Spirit will somehow respond. But what speaking in tongues does, it bypasses your head and you open the well in here and something, you know, if for a while, if you've never done it, it's like unclogging a well full of sand. You might have to dig a bit. But once you do and you hit oils, it's something else. And sometimes you don't know how to pray. You have a tough situation at work. You don't know how to buy, sell. Your boss is giving you a hard time. You don't know where to pray. Lord, move me, move him, kill him, change us. Let us get taken over. Let us get bought out. We don't know what to pray. And instead of putting the soul on your prayer and praying soulish prayers, what's soulish prayers? What your mind, will, and emotion want. I just go, Lord, with my work. And I say, God, I don't want the messy fingerprints of my own soul on the agenda of my prayer. Because I want to pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Your word above mine, your ways above mine, your thoughts above mine. And you know, the strangest thing, I never realized it was a tool to strengthen my spirit. That when my soul would go through rough patches, God didn't give me anything else but what his word to meditate on and his spirit to pray in. Ephesians 10 says praying in the spirit. There's so many references. If you're here and you're like, yeah, but I'd like what you had, but maybe not so public. You know, I don't know. I started talking to people, found out everyone had different experiences. Some got filled in a meeting like this. Some in a quiet spot. Some in their bedrooms. It's funny, I wanted the quiet filling in my bedroom. I got the public display in front of everybody. You might want it in the public display today. You might get it in your bedroom next Wednesday. I'll tell you what God responds to, hunger. That's what he responds to. If in your heart, see, what it wasn't a woman on stage prophesying that triggered it. It was 3-4 weeks of hunger. God, I just want you. I want your Holy Spirit. I don't know enough about it, but I want it. If it's real, I want it. If it's false, Keep it far from me. And God's not scared by your prayer. But there was a hunger he birthed. Some of you, even if you're not from this background, you can ask the Holy Spirit. And I'm not the baptizer. Jesus is. Jesus said, John said of Jesus, there's one coming after me. He will baptize you. He will baptize you. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh, God. What would happen if a church meditated in the Word and prayed in the Spirit constantly? You'd come to church, and when Sam and Melody are saying, come on, let's worship, you won't be like, you worship. Because your soul is so overweight. Not your body, your soul. Weighed down. It's like, and some of us, even in the house of the Lord, we're scared. You can't be a Daniel in Daniel's den if you're a chicken. Daniel was in the lion's den. We're in Daniel's den. All Daniel's here. Daniel. And you know, sometimes, I know there are new people here today, and we're really glad. We're honestly thankful for anyone that's come from any background, from any, you might not even know the Lord. We're glad you're here. And you'll get a chance. Don't leave the building today without getting right with God. That's just my personal encouragement. But sometimes we're so scared of the people around us. Look at the person next to you. Say, I'm not scared of you. Some marriages just got healed right there. Some marriages just got set free. Don't be scared of them. Sometimes the new people in the church, it's like, they're nice people. They come. They didn't do anything. But all of us who've been around for a while are like, oh, there's new people. I don't know. I hope the pastor doesn't say anything weird today. A friend came today. I brought a friend from work. Look, they think you're strange anyway. No difference. I'm just adding to what they already know. But if I talk to the new people for a second, all the new people here and online, if you just listen to me for a second, just me and you, ignore all the other people. Thank you for coming, and we're glad you're here. This is not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. But the majority of people that are here are Christian. But they're scared of you. I know, you're not intimidating and you'd like the sort of power outside the church, but somehow only in church it works. Like when new people turn up, all the Christians get scared and shy and just don't know what to do. But listen, I know it's not your fault, so please don't feel guilty. It is not on you. But are you okay if the Christians behave like Christians? If they're okay to praise and worship? If you are, just sort of smile and don't have to say anything because you didn't do it. You just relax and it's okay. Right? You're good. We're good. Okay. I talked to the new people, guys. It's good. I just had a chat to them. I just talked to them. They're fine. They said you go ahead and be a Christian. You go ahead and pretend you love the Lord. You go ahead and actually allow yourself to praise God. You can tell your soul, soul, magnify the Lord. Soul, bless the Lord. I will lift my hands. I will lift my voice. There is no one greater than you, God. You can declare the goodness of your God without worrying about what anybody else thinks. I wonder if there's any believers who need to open their soul, open their mouth, open their mind and say, God, let my spirit become strong again. Let my spirit become strong again. Lord, this week I'll meditate on the Word. Some of you need to activate the voice of the Spirit again. Why don't we stand to our feet all over this auditorium? Because there is a space where theory stops and application begins, and it's right here. If you're a believer, why don't you, in your own way, don't wait to be told. You can begin to bless the Lord and put praise on your lips, put worship on your lips. If you can speak in other tongues, you go for it. If you can't, English is fine, but ask the Lord to fill you. Say, God, I don't want to reject the gift that you have given me. I want to declare that I am a strong spirit. Lord, my soul will not dictate. I will speak to my soul, and my soul will magnify the Lord. My soul will rejoice in Christ my Savior. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. My soul will today come into alignment and magnify Him. Today's the day. This is the moment. I want to give you permission. I want to give you permission right now to declare, God, I thank you right now. See, some of you, if you would just go beyond your personality and look beyond your fear, go beyond it for a second. And you know, if you can speak in tongues, go ahead. Right now, just go ahead. Just let it come out of your lips. If you can't, you can just begin to meditate and mutter on the word and say, Father, I need you. God, I long for you. I'm open to you. If you're new, just enjoy the moment. But here is your chance to say, Spirit, wake up. Spirit, strengthen yourself. Spirit, you will get strong, so your soul will follow after you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.